I would like to welcome everyone to tonight's addclasses.com free teleseminar with Linda Hilger. And our teleseminar for tonight is From Overwhelmed to Control. So, Linda, I'm going to let you get started. Welcome, and thank you for doing another teleseminar with us.
My pleasure. I absolutely adore what you do for all of us with ADD. And these free seminars are one of the blessings, considering what the cost of living with ADD can be about, with medication and coaching and specialists and clubs and whatever impulse spending we do. So it is absolutely my pleasure to be here. And thank you. I'm impressed. There are like, I forget what number she said, like 450 people on the line, and it's just now 9 o'clock. I wouldn't even expect anyone in until about quarter past. So well done. Well done, group. So tonight's going to be a fun night, and it's one of my favorite topics because with little simple, we're going to talk about some really very simple, straightforward tweaks to the flow of a day. That's really what we want to do here tonight, because we're talking about the feeling of overwhelm, which I bet we can all relate if we were all in my living room sitting down and just chatting together about how that feeling of overwhelm can stop us in our tracks and the work it takes to go forward from overwhelm. And the habits and routines that we ultimately want to put in place so that we can feel better consistently over time and enjoy a great life, which is the goal. What those things, what needs to be tweaked in order to get there is what our topic is for tonight. And so with that, let's talk for a minute about the basic place of, just in case, I know we have a number of people here, so I want to begin this with a very quick little picture for anyone that's brand new to ADD and maybe got lucky enough to stumble upon Parasite, and they might be feeling like they're the only one. And if that's you, I have to tell you, right now I could invite about 400 people over to your house to let you know that it is a very usual thing to find yourself being an adult, not having those daily processes in place, and really not knowing what the problem is, because it's a little like an onion, unraveling it slowly and tweaking things to get better. And so if you happen to be listening and you are new to the world of ADD, I just want you to let you know that feeling or this feeling that you might describe as overwhelm, and you think, my goodness, I don't want to do this forever. Well, the good news is you don't have to, because over maybe 20 years or so, maybe close to that, our community has done a brilliant thing. Many, many people in the world of ADD, and usually they have it, which is what motivates them, have done a lot of work and seeing things that work and things that don't work, commonalities, things that cause trouble that we stumble upon, or little tweaks that we can put in that are ADD-friendly, so to say. And those tweaks are what we try to spread through our community. And so what we're going to talk about tonight, feel free, if you meet a younger person out there or years afterwards and you are in control later and you work through these systems, as you come across others, because there's a whole lot of us around, please spread the word, because that's how things like ADD classes, that's how all of this healing and empowerment takes place. And so with that, let's start with the basic format of a day. And if you are overwhelmed, then you might actually want to just take this as a relaxed time to listen. Maybe make some notes. If you hear something that you know will help a particular process in your day or will help you to create a more empowered tomorrow, then write it down. But don't let this topic overwhelm you, because it's a learning process, as all of us have gone through it. It is a learning process of, okay, this is new information here, and I'm going to practice it. Because a lot of it, actually, most of it's easy, by the way. That's the good news. Most of it's easy. But oftentimes we just fight against it, and we live in a state of conflict. I want my life to be like this, but I'm not going to do the dishes. I want my house to feel better, but I don't know where to start. I want to be able to have my laundry clean and be ready for tomorrow, but I don't know how to do that. I want to see the future in time. I want to be able to picture my week, but I don't know, it blocks out. And we'll hear that time and time again with people. And it's interesting because we sort of get our own little vocabulary going when we talk about this stuff and really build in serious answers to these, because we don't want to live that way. It's no fun. And many of us have been to a place of overwhelm where we have lost businesses, homes, lovers, and worst of all, sort of a sense of self, because we're so confused. And so, you know, when I hear that, when a client calls me or somebody in a club or something that's experiencing that, it is more evidence to me that this stuff is so important. And at the same time, it's so real. So if you're feeling that way, welcome to the club. Not an issue. Wherever you're starting, let's call this your starting point. And there's a really good chance that if you're just starting and you're moving forward and perfecting your skills and creating power in your day, there's a really good chance that you are going to be practicing and then find little things about your day or about your processes that you catch yourself and you go, oh yeah, wow, that was causing trouble. Thank goodness that thing's gone. That's the way we're going to look at this process. We're going to look at this process as really steps to a better place. And with that, a lot of us struggle with having the motivation to do it. We'll hear people say, oh, my house is always a dump, but I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to manage it. And I'm just not motivated to. But I have all these magazines over here, and I'm really motivated to read them. And we see over time with that, when we're discussing the topic of overwhelm, we see over time, yes, it's really easy to avoid things, but it causes a certain, I don't know, it causes sort of a frustration that only you feel inside, or in my case, earlier in life, that I felt inside. So it kind of kicks you directly in your own gut, and you see what the results of, in my case, non-action or not knowing what to do years ago, what that causes. And so with this, where we start with the discussion of overwhelm, I'm going to close that out now, but I just want you to know, if you're brand new to this, no matter what you're looking at, we are a community of people that generally experience an issue with mostly time management, not being able to visualize the future, and not knowing how to go about preparing for it. Home organization. Remember I said that we have sort of, well, at least I know, I have my own special little vocabulary. I'm not a therapist, coach, a psychologist, and none of that. I have over the years become a professional organizer, and I've come here from a place of, I think, complete and miserable overwhelm. And mostly I had to learn it step by step because I just couldn't leave it like that. I couldn't leave my life like that and live that long term, because for me it was too miserable. And so it took a lot of practice. And if it ends up taking you a lot of practice, I can tell you the road is actually pretty interesting, because you get to learn more about you. And so with that, home organizing. My vocabulary when it comes to home organizing is we super categorize. we put things in places that don't necessarily hold the item, and then we can't remember where we put it. We pile things up, and so many of us are overstimulated visually. And when we walk around a room, if you live there and you see it every day, you might not even realize that you're being bombarded and stimulated by your projects or by things to do, piles of stuff like laundry. And if you're getting that feeling as you look around wherever you are, see how many things are really stimulating you, are really saying, hey, when you get a chance, I want you to do this, because many times we leave them out. And so we're going to talk about that tonight and a style of living that actually leaves you feeling like you have personal choice. So home organizing is typically one of those areas. And then there are some of us that say, well, if you walked in my house, you actually wouldn't see messes. You wouldn't see anything because they're all in drawers and closets. Just don't open anything, because if you open it, you're going to get hit with stuff. And through the years of going to people's houses and seeing that, I go, okay, listen, I don't see a mess here. And you called me and you have ADD, so just tell me, where do you hide it? Is there an entire floor that I have to worry about caving in? Or are you going to walk me out to, like, this hidden garage and show me? And people will laugh and say, oh, no, but just watch out for those kitchen drawers. And so we're going to talk about that, too, if that happens to describe you. Money. We're impulsive. We just are. So we're going to talk about the flow of money and talk about some basic aspects of that in order to see it moving into the future with what your wants are. And the most frustrating thing probably that we will cover tonight, well, the covering's not frustrating, just the existing without knowledge and wanting answers can be frustrating. And I would suggest ADD classes for that. Project management. And when I say project management, I mean that covers anything from the number of hobbies that you entertain your head with and you want to complete, because we're brilliant generally in whatever we love, and we love a ton. We want to know everything. We're like human sponges sucking up information. So if that sounds like you and you're looking, you say, oh, my God, there's so much to read on the Internet, I could just be here all day. And, man, I didn't get anything done today. I feel like a loser. Oh, well, I guess I'll do it tomorrow. And then we're habitual, so we'll probably be on the Internet all day tomorrow too. If that sounds like you, we're going to talk about project management and defining what we do for projects in terms of hobbies, where that time is. How do you move forward and really create a smooth day, a smooth week, a smooth month with that? And the last part is project management at work, because much of what we do at home, you know, we tend to slack off a little more because we tolerate it. But then when you bring those habits to work, you know, we're the ones that are breaking a sweat because we have to go into a meeting and we completely forgot the topic. Or we're running into the meeting and realize that all the items that we needed for review are at our desk somewhere. And so we're going to talk about project management tonight. And I believe that Tara leaves these up for a while, by the way. So if you are liking what you hear and you want to hear it again, maybe to reinforce it, or at another time you want to just entertain the information that we're going to cover, a lot of times we think in the future we'll do X, right? Like I'm going to. No, not unless I write it down. So if your head tonight says, I really like that information, and I think I could use a go-around, I could listen to it again, then write it down in your organizer that you're going to go back to ADD classes within the next, I don't know, like I like to say a few days. Well, it's still fresh. It's a want. It's fresh. And download it from a site, because I get a lot of calls and emails from people that say, I heard this great thing and I wanted to get it, and where is it? And it's gone because they lost the window, like so many things. So with that, let's roll and get right into the primary issues of time management. And let's talk about a day. Let's keep this real and let's keep it doable, and let's talk about what we can do for a day. Because many, and this is a really interesting, I wish I could hear you talk. I wish I could, you know, hear your voice and get your thoughts, because this ends up being what I call the foundation of the house of your life. Time management for us, and now these are, when I tell you general things, they really are general. Some people don't have an issue. Some people have a huge issue. So we want to make these general answers that can really have an outcome. And so with time, many times people will say, you know, my family members had ADD, or we didn't have a regimented household, so I didn't have breakfast. We flew out of the door. Or I didn't have lunch. Or, heck, I don't even have dinner. We just eat something because our brains are busy. And we're talking primarily about adults here tonight. And we'll talk about being the leader of your family maybe at another time or at the end of this at this discussion. But right now we're going to talk about managing adult life and adult roles with these issues. So if you find, in general, you can't really name your time for break, your time to rest and breathe, or if your thought is, I don't rest and breathe, I'm too busy, then this is that's really a signal that says, ah, okay, heads up, because this is a nice little tweak. Much of the time, our days roll from one day to another day to another day. Heck, we don't know what we're supposed to get done. We have this general feeling we didn't get everything done. Some of us, I've met 18-year-olds that tell me, I will never finish what I have piled up. And I say, wow, because you're going to live to be like 80. So you have like tons of time. And the answer is, no, I don't. I have too much stuff to do. And I say, oh, really? Because we wake up every morning generally thinking of our projects, being bombarded mentally by this and this, and I have to do this, and I have to find this, and I have to dig up this, and I'm never going to be ready for this, and who knows about today. And the interesting thing is I'll stop people and say, hold on. You know, we're doing this in September, the beginning of September. What do you have planned for October? And the person says, I don't have anything for October. It's blank. Or, you know, I have Halloween, that's it. It's because we don't spread out things. So the way to spread it out is to start by formulating a day. So here we go. First, we want time in the day that is meaningful so that our brain can get an idea of how the day is going to flow. Because our brain really wants to know, what's today about, what are the deadlines, and how much time do we have? And oftentimes, ADD is, it almost feels like the day is endless. You get to 1 o'clock in the morning and you're watching TV and you want to fall asleep and you don't know what to do with yourself because you didn't finish what you thought you'd do, but there was no plan anyway, so it's this gut thing. It makes you feel uneasy. So the first thing we want to do is we want to talk about a standard routine of the day. And here it is. And I want you to pay special attention to the cool pieces in between. Because the first part's not going to be exciting, but the second part is. So here we go. Here's a standard routine of the day. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, bedtime. And if you're laughing out loud, then I don't blame you. Because when I first thought of that, I was like, wow, that's what's been screwing me up, that simple thing, and I didn't even know it. So here we'll talk about why. If you get up and you go about your morning and say you have to work or you don't work, either way, and you take a break, purposely sit down, have breakfast or have coffee or have whatever you like, but you sit and rest and you take that break, first, your body's going to appreciate it. Secondly, what it is a moment. It's a window for you not to move and to recognize that you have, most of us have, 3 or 4 hours of activity now where you're going to begin before lunch. And what happens at lunch? Oh, we sit down, we breathe, and think about what we're going to do after lunch till dinner. And then at dinner, after we make it, of course, and if you have kids, you're going to make it and then be kind of tired and then sit down. But what do? You get a chance to breathe and relax and plan your couple of hours at night before you go to bed. And I know that might, to many of you, sound really simple, but do you live it? Because if you live it, then you get a huge benefit. There are all kinds of tweaks we can put into that system. First of all, we can get really serious when it comes to what we really intend to do for the day. Because our time rolls. We don't know when the weekend is, and we're not sure about the plans for the weekend and the prep, which is the missing piece from an organizer's standpoint. So we can't go there mentally. So let's pretend we're all sitting down having breakfast, and I say, so what are you going to do till lunch? If you name a couple of things that you want to do generally in the day, I'm going to say, oh, okay. All right, well, let's go do them, and I'll see you at lunchtime. And at lunch, I sit down, and they say, so, did you do those things? And you say, oh, you know, I was reading email. I got carried away, and now it's lunchtime. Here's my time to say to you, oh, you said you wanted to get those two things done, and we're at lunch. So you now know your cutoff period. You got a few hours before dinner, or if you're working, before you have to leave. That's a mental deadline. Well, that's cool, because you know what a lot of us wait for? Adrenaline rushes. A lot of us wait for adrenaline to hit our system where we think, I'm out of time, so now I have to put my shortcuts in place and rush like a mad person and finish it. Well, if you have a day that has no sort of window of time to do it, it's really hard to get motivated, and it's really hard to get that sense of, oh, my goodness, I'm going to leave for the day, and I have to come back tomorrow and do this. I don't want to do that. All right, might as well go back to my desk and make this the thing I do so I don't have to ever do it again. That's sort of the way to make those windows of time be real. And what we find, if you were to look at an organized person, you wouldn't see them rushing. Because generally, they're not rushing. It's taken about 20 years for me to even be able to see the flow of this in real life. But because of those windows that we just talked, those simple, simple windows, what that does is it allows you to say, wow, I have like two more windows before that thing's due on Thursday. That's what I have, two windows of time before that thing's due on Thursday. It gives you a perspective of movement forward, which we are often missing. So now that's enough for the day. Now we have an outline for the day. But let's start living it, because a lot of us don't do any prep at all to make tomorrow great. And if anyone wants to come over for coffee, I could talk about that topic for a long time. But we're going to talk about the top three things that make tomorrow great. In real life, in real moment-to-moment movements. And so let's talk about it. Generally speaking, and I am, as I said, I'm not a coach, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to use any real terms. I'm going to come from an organizer's standpoint. And we're going to talk about, we're human sponges. We're really happy. Generally, we're really happy that are trying to work in a material environment, and there's a lot to keep straight. We have laundry because we have to get dressed. We have body and hygiene. It takes time. We have time elements. We have hobbies galore. And generally, we have to work to eat, so we work and we eat. Those take time. So there's a lot that has to be put into the flow of this day and put in there in the right windows so that we feel better, and we are prepared for the next event. And if anyone here has kids, you know that one of the secrets of thriving with a kid is as soon as you start running out of diapers, you fill the basket again, so that you never get to that moment when the kid has an accident and you have to carry him around the house looking for that diaper. It's too painful, right? It's yucky, smelly. So one of the tricks is to always to make sure the diaper bucket is filled, even before you need it. Well, the reality is that many of the things that we do in our day really require the same type of thinking. In fact, it can get to be a little fun, because when you fill that diaper bucket before you even need it, what you're doing is a favor to self. You're doing a favor. When you make sure there's ink in the printer, even, you know, you make sure you have a backup ink thing. It feels good. Reserves feel good. When you go do your laundry, not because there's a big pile, but because you want to open your closet like your queen, and you want to look at all your clothes and go, ah, everything works here. It's not too stuffy. It's pretty good looking. And it's all waiting for my use. Now, that's a secret, waiting for me to use it. As we look at the house and the flow of a day for routines, isn't it interesting that these are all tools? Look around you. Look at your tools. I'm going to tell you a little story, a very quick little fun story that I hope you take with you. And it has to do with putting tools away. And in this case, it has to do with a little kid and a peanut butter jelly sandwich. And anyone that's in my boot camp class or coaching classes has probably heard this, so you might get a chuckle out of it. I want you for a moment to just relax and hear this story and think of yourself. Think of if you had a 10-year-old come into the kitchen and the 10-year-old, and you tell the 10-year-old, I want you to make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And the kid comes in, he says, okay, takes the peanut butter out, takes the jelly out, uses a knife and scoops the peanut butter out and scoops it on the bread. And then uses the same knife because he doesn't care about messes, and scoops the jelly out and puts that on another piece of bread and slaps the bread together, squishes it a little because that's what they do. And then he goes, here you go. And he starts to walk away, eating his peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And as he starts to walk away, you say, hey, stop. Stop. Wait, come here. Turn around. And he says, what? You say, look. Look at the counter. You got like peanut butter goopiness, and you got jelly goops, and there's the open bread, and you got the knife is all peanut butter on it, smeared on the counter. And you say, you have to take care of that. And the kid says, oh, all right. So he probably picks the butter knife up and whips it into the sink and closes up the bag of bread, maybe puts some covers on the peanut butter and jelly. And then he's going to turn around and start eating his peanut butter and jelly again, start walking away. And you say, hey, hold on, buddy, get back here for a minute. And he says, what? And you say, look at what you're leaving. And he says, oh, all right. And now he puts some stuff away. And he might even start to leave then. And you say, okay, stop. Hold on. And you wipe the counter. And so there's nothing left behind him. And you give him a paper plate and you cut it and you say, there you go. Now you're ready to eat it. And for a 10-year-old, he's going to roll his eyes and probably think you're goofy and walk away. Well, if you look at what you have around you, if you just very calmly look around your room, wherever you're listening to this, we want to think in terms of, do you have any crumbs, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches around? Do you have books and papers that you haven't put away, that you took a shortcut on before, last month or 2 months ago? Did you put a book down or a paper down and think, I'll come back to that, and then walk away? And now that you're here on this call and you're just calmly looking, you might say, wow, yeah, there's a lot of paper here. Hey, I have a lot of books. Hey, you know, I have some piles in this corner, and my closet's a mess too. And that's very usual for us because, like a 10-year-old, we want what we like the gusto. We want the present. We want the exciting part. We want the sandwich. And we don't necessarily clean up after ourselves. And if we're adults, there's nobody bugging us either. So nobody yelled at you and said, hey, put that away. And you were probably busy. But that was 2 months ago or a month ago that you were busy. Now, this is time management in a nutshell, and it's real because there's some cool things you can do with it moving forward. For this moment in that story, we see that a 10-year-old, you really have to tell him over and over and over before he knows, oh, I have to clean up all signs of what I did before I get to take my peanut butter and jelly sandwich into the other room. And when we do that, we're teaching them. Because if they do that through their lives, they won't have piles left in their history. Somewhere along the way, we got older and no one was bugging us. And we took shortcuts, mostly because we are externally motivated. We are constantly being told by other people what the deadline is and rushing. Because we're not conscious of the future, really, with time management. We're not thinking and preparing for it. We're just waiting, and we're tired because we rush. So by the time we relax, man, I don't want to get up again until the next person says, you got to do or you're in trouble, and then I'll run. Well, that's a lot like paper piles. It's the same kind of process. If this is hitting home and you're looking at piles, then for a minute, we're going to be that 10-year-old for a minute. Whenever you put that first piece of paper down, you were taking a shortcut because you were in a hurry. And then you took another shortcut and you put another piece of paper down. And it probably isn't very interesting to you because, you know, we usually do the things we have to do. If it was a bill or that was trouble or that was a project for work or that was something we wanted to do, we usually do it. It's the kind of boring stuff that we don't really care about that ends up in piles. And so what we're seeing, if you look back and you say, well, yeah, I am a mad woman with piles, as I was earlier in my life. If that's you, those are all shortcuts because you are hurried. But here's a cool thing about embarking on creating control with time management. You have used up whatever you hurried, whatever I hurried, we did. But it's interesting that October is not full yet. We have November. We have December. We have all next spring. Goodness, that's a lot of time. That's a lot of time ahead of us that we haven't used yet. And since it's our nature not to use it till we're there and hurried, what we want to do is use an organizer. And I won't get into the details of it, but really, you want to use sort of a paper organizer is easiest if you're feeling really overwhelmed. Day timer, day runner, Franklin Covey. You want to use something like that, and you want to be conscious of a very important detail. We don't plan the future time. Well, if I'm not looking at tomorrow and I'm not thinking about the appointment I have, it's a really good chance that I'm not going to find any importance about doing my laundry right now. It's just not going to seem important because there's nothing yelling at me to do it until tomorrow afternoon when I look at my organizer and say, holy Toledo, I have this appointment and I need some clothes. Darn, I wish I did laundry. Which brings us to tools. We want our tools in specific places we can name. And we want our piles to be piles that we actually look at and say, all right, you're a pile waiting for me. So I have two choices. I can either take 10 minutes out and look and see who you are, what you are, and decide if I want you in my future, or you're part of the past and you bored me the first time. You're out of here. And that's really taking control of your home in terms of deciding what you want in your future. So when it comes to doing routines, remember we went through that breakfast, lunch, dinner, bedtime scenario? Well, here we're going to get into some quick prep. On the surface, it doesn't sound like it's really going to do much, but for anyone that's been in my clubs or classes, you know darn well it does a lot. So here we go. We want to sneak little things into the movements of days. That's how organized people look so darn calm. When they get up in the morning, they throw their dishes in the dishwasher or they wash their dishes. They just do it. They don't contemplate it, and they don't torture themselves and live with conflict. I should do it. I wish I did it, but it's too much. I don't want to. I hate it. I'm going to leave them for tomorrow. I guess I'll leave them the next day. I guess I'll throw them outside in the yard. They don't do that because they know eventually they're going to wash that dish. So if they are eventually going to wash the dish, heck it, they bite the bullet, they wash it right then, and they put it away, and then they live with a room that is inviting and feels good. Exact same work without torture. When do they do it? They do it in the morning. Why? Because they want to come home. If they work, they want to come home to a place that is prepared for them. And that prepared for them, prepared for you, is very important, and it's really the gut of why I adore working with ADD people. We get so rushed in our lives, making people happy, making deadlines, worrying about things, that we start to take shortcuts, showers, flossing, brushing teeth, going to sleep. Our head can start whirlwinding in all these things that we have on our mind. So at a certain point, we stop doing the human hygiene, high-level care that we really wish we did, because we're just trying to keep up. Those systems, like waking up and saying, I'm not arguing with myself, this is not an argument, I'm doing the dishes, and I'm not going to start the dishwasher because I'm leaving for work, but they're going to be filled. And I'm taking something out for dinner right now. Why? Because I want to come home to a house where there's something thought out and I'm going to eat. And I don't want to think about it in the moment because that's stressful. In fact, many people that take boot camp, what our goal is in boot camp is to get to be prepared 5 days before an event. 5 days before an event. And on the first night of boot camp, when we talk and I say, by the way, in 6 weeks, you're going to be prepared for things 5 days in advance. And I always hear a bunch of chuckles because boot camp's fun. And as I hear those chuckles, I say, I know it sounds crazy, but you'll be there. You will do it. In fact, the second time we get together, the second class, I say, all right, here's how you do it. Let's go. And by the last class, there are always a few people that say, I'm never going to not do this. Because being prepared and knowing that my things are ready for me 5 days in advance, heck, I could take a day off in the middle and go to sleep and wake up and still be ready. And I can have the flu and not be behind when I recover. I could spend 5 days on a special thing that I want to do, like read a book, because I'm really into the book and I love it, and then wake up and still not be behind on anything. That's how cool being prepared ahead of time is. And it is easier to do the movements when you're preparing for a great life than it is to take care of the piles that are in your history that aren't exciting. That thought, if that seems foreign, listen to this audio, that little clip. Don't listen to the whole thing. My husband says no one wants to listen to that for another hour. But that little clip, if that thought seems foreign and you are not used to preparing for the next time you go to bed so that you feel like a king or a queen, or you are not used to opening a closet and feeling like angels are singing because all of your items are waiting for you, then look at the fun you're missing that you can easily build in. Because these things that we own, they're really tools. So you get to decide what tools you need, what works best, and what gives you power. And for anyone that has the audio coach, the ADD audio coach, which is free with boot camp, but for anyone that has that, that has list room by room by room exact counts of where you put things and how many you keep and based on how many people are in your house and how to move and how to do a quick clean, which is a complete buzz around your room so that if your mother-in-law comes in 10 minutes, you can be done. And for anyone that's curious about a quick clean that hasn't heard it, I'm going to give that tonight because I think it's the most powerful way to learn about organizing with a home. So here it is. Usually, if you hang with organizers and you go into rooms, you know they can buzz through a room in about, I don't know, no time flat. Just let me at it. Because they know the steps to go through. There's no confusion. So I'm going to tell you the steps right now. And then maybe we'll take, since we've covered time management and the aspects of routine, And dinner, having dinner defrost for you and doing the dishes so the room is prepared. When we close out of quick clean, you'll be ready with room organizing and maybe build that into your day as well. So here's a quick clean. When we walk into a room we see clutter, we don't know what the heck to do with all that mess. It seems so overwhelming, you think it's going to take 10 years to clean. But if you hired me, I'd run in there and I'd be like, hey, get me a cup of coffee. I'm going to clean up this mess. Pew! Why? Because I've learned over time, and by the way, I wouldn't have 20 years ago. I would have been just crying with you. I would have made the coffee while you sat and cried. But now I know better. Now I know it's either junk or good stuff. If it's good stuff, I want all the good stuff grouped up. So say we're doing a home office. I'd buzz in there and I'd say, okay, you go get coffee, and I am going to first get rid of any dirty dishes and any clothes that are going outside the door. Those are just standards, dirty dishes and clothes outside the door. Next, if it's paper and it's old and you're not interested, it goes in one pile. If it's paper and it's active stuff you're doing today and you might need to find tomorrow, it goes in another pile right next to each other. Why? Because when your head wants paper, I want you to know where it is. It's right there. It's nowhere else. I'm not going to super file it. I'm not going to break it down yet. I'm just going to put it in a pile so that when your head needs it, it's there. If it's a bill, it goes in a bill pile. So that if you run in saying, oh, my God, I need a bill, right there, nowhere else, it goes nowhere else. In my home, by the way, I do not allow any paper in my home. If you took a walk right now, you would be lucky to find one piece of paper in my entire, 12 rooms. You wouldn't, not here. Because I had my piles before, and I'm done with them. Next thing, I would say, okay, pens, pens, anything you write with, markers, crayons, all in a group. Why? Because if your head needs it, we want to know where it is. Does it matter what you put it in? Heck, you don't want 3,000 of them. But just put them in a group. That grouping mechanism calms down a room tremendously, and it is the way to move through a room wicked fast. So, pens all grouped up. Now, little elements of, you know, staplers, staplers and little office utility items, all in a box. Why? Because if it's an office utility item, you want to know where to go get it. That's all you need to know. They get grouped. If you don't know what group it goes to, match it with things that it looks like. And you can say, well, everything that looks green and hairy, and I don't know what it is in that box. If anyone ever needs a green, hairy thing, it's right there in that box. Why? Because your head will know where it is. So oftentimes when people are freaking out because their rooms are overwhelmed, my answer is it's just like a big deck of cards. It's like a big deck of cards. Somebody moved everything around. So you got a hammer on your bed. Okay, take it off. Bring it to where the tools are. In fact, bring all the tools down to where the tools are. You might have a big, humongous pile of tools, but who cares? Your head knows where they are. And then later on, go back someday and say, you know, I don't need these 16 hammers I bought. I think I'll cut it down to 5. Okay, great. Do that. Make life easier. Get less. That piece is humongously important, and it can be applied to anything. Can be applied to outdoors, to work, to projects. Grouping is huge. And then deciding, where does the group go? Do all the hammers have to be stored on my bed? No, that would be really uncomfortable. Okay, where do I go for tools? I go to a shed. I go to an outside source. I go in my garage. I go in my cellar. Something that your head says, I go here. Great, put them there. Why? Less worry. You're not worried if you need it. So when we were talking about organized people and they come down and they usually just load the dishes and clear up their kitchen, what else do? They group items. They put like items together and they put things away. Because if you walk into a room and it has 47 cereal boxes and somebody says, get the cereal, you're going to say, I can't do that. That is way too hot. I can't get cereal here. Why? Because there's 47 boxes out. I can't even see it. I'm going to go in the other room. If all the cereal boxes are in one spot and you say, go get the cereal, I'm going to say, cool, all right, hold on a minute. I know where they are. Let me pull a few out for you. That matters terrifically because that gives you a place to begin. So if you have not had a place to begin and you're looking at a mad pile in an off a home office or a bedroom or a kitchen or a living room, those are just holding spaces for items that you use in the room. And all you want to do is really group those items up and store them in a place that you can actually use them. And then remember that stuff we bring forward from yesterday, you know, those piles that we're looking at? What you can do is really decide with power. I'm going into the future. So first, I want the least work humanly possible, and I want a great house. I want to feel great in my house. I don't have a lot of money, so I'm not going to have all new stuff. I can live with that. I want it to work. I want to walk into a room and feel like I can do things. And if anyone's ever stayed at a hotel, you know that when you go into a hotel, you notice something. You can think in a hotel room. In fact, when you stay a couple of days and then you go to scoop your stuff up, you can see. You can, like, find your shoes. I don't know about you, but 20 years ago in what I was living, there was no finding shoes. There were no finding shoes. So I could find them, like, in my trunk of my car. I don't even know how they got there. But that's a good example. It is designed to go in, do your project, do whatever you want to do, scoop up your stuff and leave. That design element of simple, bring the stimulation down, is a really good way to go if you are designing a place to live. So if you look around and you see piles, you have one piece we covered tonight. You want to group those things. And then you want to get an organizer so that you can see time in the future. When those piles started, you took shortcuts because you were rushed. The good news is you haven't used up the time yet in the future. So you get to say, this pile, I'm so sick of looking at this pile. I'm not going to do all my whole life tomorrow. I'm going to do one piece of paper. And then we're going to close out with this as a part of cleaning up your home. The reason you want to do one piece of paper is this. Many of us learn fear. We hate paper. Personally, I love paper. I love paper. Because very few things tell me what I need and sit around and wait for me to stop and look at it long enough to do it. But paper does. Paper tells me usually what it needs, when it's needed, and it's usually for me. It's something cool. Because if it's not, I'm going to throw it away. So usually papers, if you look at a million of anything, you're going to want to fall down. If there's a million paper clips, you're going to say, wow, I hate paper clips, I'm out of here. But if you see a big pile of papers, I see gold. First, I usually find money. Secondly, it's all about the person. So when I look through it, I'm like, hey, cool, look at this paper. You wanted this. Now the person might say, I'm no longer interested, or I did it, or that was a reminder. Cool, get rid of it, recycle. Let's get down to the gold. Let's get down to the things you want to bring into the future. Let's clear away the old. That's usually what's sitting there, just old stuff that's kind of boring. So clearing away means that there'll be a day, even if you did 15 minutes a day, there'll be a day that you get there and you say, you know what, this place used to have piles of paper, you wouldn't even believe it. But 15 minutes a day, I went through 15 pieces of paper and chucked them or did them. Very cool. And so with those simple systems, we see the person does dishes. They take out something to eat for the dinner, and then usually they go to work. If they stay home, you're really functioning, thinking, what am I going to do for the next 3 hours till lunch when I can sit again and look at my organizer? And then what am I going to do when you're at lunch? You say, okay, phew, that was good. Did I get it done? I got most of it done. Okay, now element of adrenaline. When's the next window of time? Oh, cool, I have 3 hours before the kids come home. Or I have 4 hours before I have to leave work. Great. There's your window. And now look at what you have to do. Use a list. And we can get more in depth in some other time about that. But it gives you the adrenaline flow to say, there's a time element here. I'm out of here at 5. or I'm eating at 6, whatever it is. And then generally, when we get home, we float. We're not mentally even there. We walk in the house, kids start talking to us, or our head is in another place. Now, personally, I remember trying to train myself at the beginning of this process, and I knew things were really going to be bad if I didn't learn something because I was bad off. And I remember there was a rule I started because I was losing keys. I was losing my house key and my car key. It was just every day it took me forever to find them. It was frustrating, probably with my shoes in the trunk. So I would make myself stop at the door. And lots of times I'd stop at the door coming home, and I'd forget why I stopped. So I'd just be sitting there all alone while standing at my door, trying to remember what the heck I had to stop for. Go completely blank, couldn't remember. And I'd get kind of frustrated and bored. And I'd go, oh, that's right. I'm trying to learn to put this key up on a key hook. I'll do this. I will learn someday. Well, that happened, I don't know, maybe for 8 months. I'm a slow learner. And I'd stop at that stupid door, and who knows how many times I forgot. But eventually, I walked in and said, okay, key in the key hook, and my mind is making a transition, and I am not rushing. I am entering my house. I am taking a breath. I am putting the bills down where they go so I know where they are. I don't care if people are talking to me and kids are pulling at my outfit. I am walking in quietly. Okay, I'm taking a moment. Why? Because my head would rush right in the door and I'd be thinking, worried about dinner or who I had to call or whatever. Whatever the heck was in my head. My body was entering the house, but my head was somewhere else. I had to really learn when I transition to actually create steps of transition. Like, this is a nice door I go through every day. Let me wipe my feet. Let me take a breath. Okay, yeah, I'm about to come in. I'm about to do that transition. Okay, I'm entering. And those steps of bills in their place, not on the counter, because if I leave them, I got to come back tomorrow or the next day. And I don't want to put my future time into finishing up, like the peanut butter and jelly guy. I want to do it right now while it's in my hand, because here's a funky thing. 8 movements is what it usually takes later to finish something. A one thing, like here's a piece of paper. 8 movements or thoughts to get it back to finished. I don't want to do 8 tomorrow. I'd rather do 1 right now, walk over to where the bills are, and put them down. And when you enter, and it's best just to recycle any trash mail right then so that real mail is in the holder. Because who needs to look at gobs of garbage mail? Just get done right then so you don't have to do it later, like the piles you're looking at now if you are. And that is entering your house. And now you should probably create a system that you like, that you enjoy, that says, I'm going to enter, I'm going to do whatever I need to do with animals or kids. And then we're all going to prepare a meal. Look, it's all thought out from this morning. Cool, favor to self. And now we sit. And then, all right, guys, we have like an hour and a half. Average person is about an hour and a half. We get an hour and a half where we get to chill, watch TV, do a hobby, whatever. Now, this is interesting and really important. And then, Tara, if you're interested, we'll take a break. This is important, guys, because I've seen this happen so many times, and I say, oh, cool, I want to point this out the next time I run into someone. Here it is. I want you to stop before I tell you this, just to make it interesting. I want you to think of how many interests or hobbies or projects you're doing right now. Just take a guess. Just think of it. How many, you know, things are you interested that take up your day or take up the flow of your day that is just simply because you enjoy it? All right. And whatever that number is, just try to give it a number. And now, if you're on the Internet and other things maybe you're interested on the Internet that you just like to read up on, okay, if those are the same, they don't count as more. But if those are other new topics that weren't included in your hobbies, all right, bring on that number. there's a really good chance that you're going to give me a number higher than the number that I'm going to give you. So here we go. If you work, chances are, and if you have kids, chances are you have about an hour and a half to yourself a day. And that's after dinner, before bed. And that's if you have a bedtime. Most of us don't. If you have an hour and a half spare time in your day, and you have 7 days in the week, and you float and grab any interesting thing, or you have 70 books by the side of your bed, you're going to probably skip around so much that by the end of the week, I'm going to say, what'd you learn? What are you doing? And you're going to say, I don't know, my time was full, I'm busy. I'm going to say, yeah, but where are you going? What are you accumulating? Did you finish that project? And you're going to say, no, I never have time. And I'm going to say, okay, cool. Do yourself a favor. And this is the big one. Keep it to three named hobbies or projects you are working on. If you can name three things, I am working on these three things. When I'm done, I'm going to pick a new one. Or I'm studying this topic, and I'm studying because I have a question that I want answered for my brain, or I want to know how to do X. And when I'm done, I'm going to change that and pick a new one. Here's what happens. It's real, and it really matters. It's really important to self-esteem. If you have 70 books by the side of the bed, most of the time when you look over, you're going to go, oh, that's a lot of reading. I'm tired. I'm out of here. If you have one book and you say, I am almost halfway through this book is so good. When you have time and you're quiet and you want to do an activity, if you only have three to pick, you're going to go, you know what? I don't want to do the woodwork or the project. I'm going to read the book. Getting closer to finished. Do you know what you're going to do in your spare time? Yeah, you get three to pick from. So you always have something interesting, but you're making progress. And more importantly, after a week or 2 weeks or a month or 6 months, you get a feeling of accomplishment. I finished that book. It was awesome. I finished that project. It was great. It felt great. I love bragging about it. Bragging rights rock. I finished this thing, and now I'm done. It no longer is in my brain. It's manifested here in the world. It's real. And I can pick something else. And you get a sense of achievement internally. You see, we're usually really brilliant at what we like. We're really interesting, cool people. I would love to have like a neighborhood of ADD people, just because I know it would be really good block parties. We'd have a blast. But if you don't have named hobbies and you float in your spare time, or you just float, I know plenty of people who can't get off the internet. They just love everything. They're just looking all day. And then they're crying at the end of the week, and I say, what's going on? They say, I don't know what I'm doing with my time. I'm busy all the time, but I don't have anything done. I say, okay, name your hobby and why you're doing it and what will be finished. When it is finished, what will it look like? What will you have learned? If you can name that, pick three. You can get to everything over time. But what will happen is your brain will calm down. And you'll say, ah, it's nighttime. What do I do at night? I put my feet up. I relax. And this is my rest time. Enormously important when we think of getting through a day. And here's why. Heads up on this, because this is really improves quality of life. Most of us don't rest. We run, and when we finally stop getting bugged by people, we want to just collapse on a couch. And when we collapse, we go, oh, my God, I never have time for myself. Oh, my God, I'm rest. I need some rest. I'm going to sleep. Wake me up when the next person needs something. We never rest. In fact, many of the people in my clubs and classes go, I can't rest. I start to hyperventilate. And I say, okay, we have a cool thing for you to get onto. Let's start. Because we, as humans, we are creators. We are thinkers. We want. Every day we think of good things to do and what we want, and we start doing them, and we start getting. And with that, we also need to enjoy it. And so the evening time is generally a time that I would say, stop. Make yourself stop before dinner. And the reason is your brain will say, oh, my God, did we stop? Somebody stopped. What happened? Somebody stopped. Did he stop? Yeah, he really did stop. Wow, what happened? He's resting. No way. I'm going to talk to him now. I'm going to tell him. So these are the things you wanted me to remember, and these are things we have to do tomorrow, and you're going to go, ah, I hear myself. I'm resting. I can think. I'm not bombarded. I'm resting. And then when you go to sleep and you rest, in the morning, you get a sense of, wow, I have personal balance. I woke up and I did things throughout my day. I had a sense of time because I had these windows of time to work with. At the end of the day, I rest and I do something fun just for me. And that makes me feel good so that when I have to do things to prepare, like do a load of laundry or do the dishes or put the bills away, you don't feel like you're tortured and you've been doing it for 30 years because you have your rest time all planned out. Who cares what you do when you rest? You know that window is coming. That's a big favor to self.
Okay, Linda, we need to stop. It's past the
hour. Cool, because that would be great. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I just got carried away because I like this subject, so I apologize.
Okay. Why don't you just wrap up right now? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but...
I'm glad you did, because I would just be going on and on. You might as well come over, come over and grab a chair. That's a big favor to self. And the resting portion is often missing in people that feel tired and overwhelmed. And if you ask them, they'll say, I've been rushing for 20 years. And I would say, okay, build that quiet into the end of your day so that your body and your brain know you get to rest. Well, you get to do something for pleasure. And then when you start up again in the day, you won't mind looking at that list of things to get to and moving forward. So that is the close. And we made it through a full day and a lot of aspects of routines and time. And I'm sorry we didn't get some of the
You answered most of the questions that were asked. We had that were asked before the teleseminar. And there really weren't that many asked because I think you answered a lot of the people's questions. But before we end, could you just tell people a little bit about the boot camp, which starts on October 14th is the next date.
Starts on ADD boot camp. You can look it up. And starts on what date did you say, October what?
14th.
And it's a night class, Eastern Standard Time, 9 o'clock. And if you go to, if anyone wants to ask me anything about tonight, you can always email me at Linda, L-I-N-D-A. At lindahilger.com, and Hilger is spelled H-I-L-L-G-E-R, lindahilger.com. And so you can ask me questions about tonight's topic if you like, and I'll be happy to get back to you. The Tara's site for ADD Bootcamp is adultaddbootcamp.com, and it's a six-week class. It's intensive, but it's a blast. Get to know some really cool people. I limit it to a small number of people, and it's a teleclass, so all you do is call in. And you get the ADD audio coach for free, which covers time management, home organizing, finance, and project management in a five-step process. And basically, you get to learn how to take control and really do the exercises in your life. So you get to see yourself change in six fast weeks. So it is cool, and I haven't done one in a long time, Tara, huh?
Yeah, I think May was the last one, and I know we had a lot of people interested in. People can sign up this Thursday, September 2nd. So give people a couple of days, those of you who are listening live, to think about if you want to join. I specifically didn't have it ready today because I don't want to take advantage of people's impulsivity on this call, which I know people sign up. You know what I'm thinking about? So think about
that,
if you want to sign up, you have 2 days to decide, but it will fill up quickly. So think about it for the next couple of days. And I want to thank you for an excellent teleseminar, Linda, and thank you, everyone, for listening. Good night.
Good night.
The moderator has left the conference.